Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Open the fifth seal. The fourth seal was pestilence and disease, the chloris sickly colored green horse. The fifth seal, it says, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. What does that mean, the word of God and the testimony which they held? That's
the patience of the saints.
That's Revelation 14:12, the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua. That's exactly what it is. And they cried with a loud voice, not a little tiny voice, but a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And here's the answer in Revelation 18. Verse 20, Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.
Question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are all the daughters of the Catholic Church, which is the Protestant faith, going to join her in her wealth and in her sins?
Yeah, right now, all the Protestant churches are being brought back into Catholicism. As one at a time, the great denominations are signing documents to become part once more of the Roman Catholic Church.
All of them?
They are continuing one after another. It's not going to be completed until we come to the tribulation period and all true believers are gone. But okay. At that point, yeah, they're all going to have merged back in.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know, is there, like the female priests or pastors and the gays and all that, is that going to, do we know, is that going to be consistent among all these now? Because they all have different kind of rules for that thing.
Yeah, but remember, it hasn't been long since the Pope said he doesn't see why they shouldn't have gay priests. So, yeah, he's opening up Roman Catholicism to homosexuality as well. The earth is just going down that path. If God said don't do it, the world is saying do it. What's that?
So are there going to be believers coming out of these Protestant churches, and then what is remaining will be married to the Catholic Church?
Correct. Although it's begun now with whole denominations merging back in. And, never mind. That's yucky stuff.
And the reason why John, when he's writing this, writes about Babylon instead of Rome is because if he wrote it was the Church of Rome or the Catholic Church, then he would have been killed a long time ago.
Not just that, but the letters would never gotten off Patmos because the Romans censored all the letters. So a letter about Babylon, they didn't care about. A letter about Rome, they would care about. Verse 21, here we go. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. What's a millstone used for?
Crushing and grinding.
And threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. Let's go back to Jeremiah 51.
Does this also have a reference to that if you harm one of these little ones, it'd be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck than for you to harm one of these little ones?
Yeah, it's just an example of judgment. If you have a millstone tied around your neck, you get thrown into the sea. That's the end of you. So it's the same illustration. Jeremiah 51, verses 63 to 64.
Jeremiah 51, verses 63 and 64. Now it shall be when you finished reading this book, that is the book of prophecy given to Jeremiah, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So it happened in the Ancient of Days that Babylon was destroyed, never to be rebuilt. It happens in the day of the Lord that Babylon is destroyed, never again to be rebuilt. When Messiah returns, there will be no more pagan idolatry. There will be no more false religious system. It's all going to be gone. Back to Revelation chapter 18. Verse 22, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. That is, in Babylon there will be no more joy, no more celebrations. The rest of the world's suffering, but Babylon has been rejoicing and saying, oh, everything's great and wonderful. We're rich, we're powerful, the whole world bows down to us. No more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. Meaning never again to be inhabited. Just like Babylon of old shall be the Babylon of the future. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 24. Well, not. Let's read 23 first. Verse 23, then we'll go to Isaiah 24. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. Now to Isaiah 24, verses 4 to 6. Isaiah 24, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 24 tells us why the earth falls under God's strict judgment and wrath in the tribulation period. It says, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people, meaning the proud, the arrogant of the earth languish. The earth, meaning the whole earth, from one point to another, is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the Torah, the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. This is the tribulation period. So verses 4 and 5 tell us why it happens. And I want you to think about it. Why is the whole earth falling under God's judgment and wrath? Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. How can you go into a pulpit and preach that the law's been abolished, it's not for us to follow, when the scripture says the tribulation period is full of wrath, bloodshed, and death because the entire world has transgressed God's law, changed his ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant? Does it apply to the whole world?
Wayne?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, Miss Susie?
Where it says broken the everlasting covenant, the Sabbath comes to mind.
Yes, it does.
And I know there's other covenants to be considered, but I think of the everlasting covenant.
Now, Sabbath is a commandment as opposed to a covenant. But it's a sign that we worship the true and living God. But remember in Psalm 89, verse 34, the Lord God said, My covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my mouth. And yet, from pulpit after pulpit, they preach today, the covenant's been abolished. The law doesn't apply anymore. Don't you dare follow it. In fact, there were just people here last night saying, when I keep the Sabbath, all my family and friends tell me I'm in a cult. I'm in a cult if I do that, that I'm violating God's commandments if I keep the Sabbath. And, you know, you and I, we just reel and go, so you're telling me that in order to be saved, I have to break God's commandments. Starting back in the 4th century, what was the Council of Laodicea, Canon 29? If you keep the Sabbath, you cannot be saved. The Inquisitions throughout the Middle Ages, what did they put people to death for? Keeping the Sabbath. Who put them to death? The church did.
What's even worse now is the Jews now are coming out with the 7 Noahide laws, saying that if you hold a day out as a Sabbath, no matter what day it is, you shall be killed.
Yeah. When you hear the 7 Noahide laws, just remember, it's not in the Bible anywhere. You're going back to man-made rules and regulations, as Rachel is telling us. She's right. But again, look at Isaiah 24. It's titled in my Bible here, The Coming Judgment on the Earth. It's about the tribulation period. Verse 5, the earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Daniel chapter 7 warned us that the false Messiah will try and change the Torah, the law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And trying to get us not to keep the Sabbath, not to keep Passover, not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's been going on through the history of the Roman Catholic Church. I hear somebody out there on the web, Sally.
The everlasting covenant, wouldn't that be including Yeshua, the salvation?
Absolutely.
That was my next question, exactly what the everlasting covenant actually referred to.
Every covenant of God, he says, is everlasting. Every one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's give some examples of Roman Catholic doctrine that teach us that Yeshua is not... Yes, Edmund?
One of the things that I find I get challenged with when I talk about the covenant being everlasting is, well, we're told clearly they have broken my covenant. Therefore, that means although it was meant to be everlasting, it is now broken and therefore no longer active. And I can't really get a real... killer answer to that. What would you say?
My answer would be they have broken the covenant, but God has not. And a covenant under seal cannot be changed by either side, by either party. So they who chose not to follow the covenant, they will end up being under the wrath of God. It doesn't mean the covenant's broken.
Because, say, for example, Israel is judged and sent off to Babylon because they have broken various covenants, and therefore that covenant is now broken, and yes, it was man that did it, but it is broken and no longer applies, is the argument.
Yeah, that's the argument, but then go to Galatians.
Okay.
In Galatians chapter 3, Paul gives us the biblical answer to that. If you and I have a contract for you to sell me your car, and I don't keep up my end, does that mean the contract is null and void, or does it mean you have an action against me for breach of contract? If it nullified the contract, then you'd have no action against me because you can't enforce something that no longer exists. And in Galatians...
I like that.
Okay. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul addresses this question when he says in verse 15, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men." He says, let's set the Bible aside for a moment and just talk you and me. He says, though it is only a man's covenant, so you and I have a contract for the sale of a car, yet if it is confirmed, meaning it's under seal, I don't know if you still have that in English jurisprudence, but it's gone away in America because we're so untrustworthy. But until recent days, we had that concept even in American jurisprudence, a contract under seal. He says, no one annuls or adds to it, meaning even the parties to it cannot annul it. They can fail to follow it, but they can't make it null and void. Says, now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto your seed who is Messiah. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God and Messiah, that it should make the promise of no effect. So even if mankind does not keep it, it doesn't mean that the covenant goes away.
Hi, Wayne?
Yeah.
I wanted to add to that because Sally and I had to get into a debate of sorts with someone on Facebook the other night where we were called names, but his thing was...
Sticks and stones.
When you talk to somebody about the God's covenant and he won't break it, that this guy, his eschatology was all messed up. He actually thinks Revelation 12 happened in... September 11th, 3 BC.
Okay, then forget him.
And so when you try to make your point, if they don't see the Bible lining up chronologically the way it really is, and they think certain things have already happened, then it was terrible.
Yep.
Put it like this. We were called all kinds of names.
Sticks and stones shall break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Well, we were told we were already took the mark of the beast. We stoned Stephen, we were a brood of vipers, everything.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
What did the Lord say about not casting pearls before swine? Sometimes you just have to say, we have no common ground.
That's it, exactly.
Okay. So back to Revelation chapter 18, verse 22. We did 23. We're up to 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Meaning all the way back to the days of the prophets of Israel. That it was the same spirit of Babylon, the same, shall we say, rebellious attitude and spirit that we will not follow God. We will follow whoever we want, but it won't be God. That was responsible for the death of Isaiah and all the other prophets and saints that were put to death in the past. Chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. Doesn't say who the great multitude is in heaven. Does anybody have a guess? The raptured and resurrected saints. Saying, Alleluia. Wait a minute. That's hallelujah from the Hebrew, transliterated into the Greek, transliterated from there into the English. If the book of Revelation was written in Greek, why would they include words that they have to transliterate from Hebrew? Because there is no literal translation in the Greek language. There's no Greek equivalent. Wouldn't they have used Greek words? It's just another indication that Hebrew is the original language.
So how do you write that down? Only have a little space.
Write down hallelujah.
Okay.
Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. See this, the Lord? That's the tetragrammaton all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord has been, is, and always will be God. Even though It's also referring to our Messiah, Yeshua. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Which word is the word, his holy name, the word Lord or the word God? The Yod Heh Vav Heh.
The word Lord.
You.
Yep. Elohim in Hebrew is God. Verse 2, for. What does for mean? Because. True and righteous are his judgments. Well, did the scripture tell us that all Messiah's judgments would be just and righteous? Yeah, where? Isaiah chapter 11. Because he has judged the great harlot. What is the great harlot? That's mystery Babylon, who corrupted the earth with her fornication. The fornication there is idolatry. All idolatry traces back to Babylon in Genesis chapter 11. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. So that call in Revelation 6:10 has now been answered. How long, O Lord? This long. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Does that mean the city is going to be literally burning forever and ever? No, it means it's going to be remembered forever and ever. This destruction is going to be so horrible to see that it's just going to be indelibly written on the mind. And it also means no more pagan idolatry from this point forward or evermore. Never again. Verse 4, and the 24 elders, like I said before, I believe that is the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. When we get to heaven, we'll find out if I'm right or wrong. If I'm wrong, you can all look me up and say, you didn't get that one right. If you still care at that point. And the four living creatures, those are angelic beings, fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen. What does Amen mean? So be it. It's true. And again, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him. What's it mean to fear him?
Obey.
To obey. Both small and great. That's a Hebrew idiom, small and great. What does it mean? Young and old. Young and old. Why would the servants of God be praising God?
They just told us to.
Well, they just told us to, yes.
Because he saved us from what our fate would have been if we'd been left to our own accord.
Because we could have been part of that system. We could have been part of the destruction, the burning whose smoke rises forever and ever, but God had mercy on us. Kind of reminds me of Isaiah 66, 24. Let's turn over there because it reminds me too. Tell me more.
Because it's kind of like a forever reminder. Like, look what you...
Decision. Yes, you made the right decision. Look what you didn't have to endure. Yep. Isaiah 66, 22 to 24 talks about eternity future. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. That's talking about Israel. This tells us Israel will continue forever. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another. Why the reference to the new moon? What do the new moons indicate? Start of a month so that you can tell when the Moedim are, the appointed times, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Are they going to go into eternity?
Yep.
They're going to go into eternity. And from one Sabbath to another, is the Sabbath going to go into eternity future? Yes. All flesh, that is everyone still alive, shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Everyone will keep the Sabbath, Jew and Gentile alike, because there aren't any Gentiles. Gentile means pagan, no more pagans. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die. How many have been taught that when the unsaved die, they simply poof out of existence? There are whole denominations that teach that. God's a loving God. He wouldn't punish people forever. They just cease to exist. This says their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. And people are going to be saying, whew, that could have been me. How many of you have heard the old expression, but for the grace of God? That could have been me. Back to Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. How many people is that? It's a great multitude. But I get emails saying, how many people? A great multitude. That's all we know. As the sound of many waters. So these are from the nations all over the world. And as the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah. Again, hallelujah. What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Who's going to rule and reign in the kingdom? Messiah Yeshua. Is he the Lord God omnipotent? Yes, he is. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11:2. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. The bride gets presented after the 7 days in the bridal chamber, picturing the 7 years of the tribulation period. That's what we're going to see in chapter 19, is the bride being presented to the world. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Scripture says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you. Who is the you? The believers. And the church at Corinth is out of the Gentile world. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, you know that you are Gentiles. So these are people who used to be pagans, but have gotten saved and are pagans no more. For I betrothed you to one husband. Who's that husband? The bridegroom, Messiah Yeshua. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. How does God describe idolatry? As adultery. So Paul says, don't you fall back into that. No idolatry. Have nothing to do with idolatry. So put in your little margin there, no Christmas trees or Easter eggs. Let's look at Hosea chapter 2. What's Hosea mean? Salvation. Hosea 2. Give you hints in the Old Testament. Right before Joel.
Like 2 Corinthians, right?
Yeah, Hosea 2. Verses 14 to 23. Therefore, behold, I will allure.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.